Hi, I'm David Soper from Radio Entrepreneurs, and today we are live from NTP Software in Framingham, Mass., and we are talking about nonprofits. Today my guest is Eva Nicolau of Lynx Boston. Hi, Eva.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're pleased to have you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got here?
Great. Well, I'm from Boston, and basically, I have recently become a co-founder of a nonprofit that's local to Boston. We started about half a year ago, and we started by launching a sort of a small community for women, and that's what our company does. We try to build mind-body wellness awareness around women's issues, and we try and foster these small communities for women so that they can thrive and find sort of their place wherever that may be, whether it's in a corporation or just amongst women that they have never met before. The reason why we launched it in the first place is because we realized that there really is a shortage of community once you graduate from college. It's this social cliffing experience that really can set people off. It can set people into depression, especially in a city like Boston that gets kind of cold.
It sounds like men can have this problem too. Yeah, it's not, I think, one sex.
Absolutely. The thing about men is that they thrive even in very like light friendships, peripheral friendships. They can go play basketball with people that they met at work, and that counts as their social encounter, and that was great, and they feel like they have that community. Whereas women, they need a stronger sort of bond. They need that emotional connection to really thrive, and sadly, companies don't really know how to provide that. There's a lot of progress in that space. A lot of companies are bringing in sort of these like culture builders or people that are trying to work on creating that sense of community and retaining young talent. But unfortunately, I'm not quite sure that they know how to go about that. And so that's sort of where Lynx comes in. And the direction that we're heading now, that we've sort of created our first initial community in Boston, we have about 100 women involved. We are now trying to go into corporations and be like, hey, listen, by 2020, young women are going to be a quarter of the workforce, and you're losing them. You're not retaining them. You don't know how to foster an appropriate community, and even though you are trying, HR is overworked and there really isn't anyone who's looking out for young women, and they're the future of the workforce, not the entire workforce but a pretty hefty chunk of it. And if companies are losing them, where are they going? They're probably starting their own companies, which is great. That's awesome. I'm all about that. But I also think that there needs to be some proof of concept of women succeeding in the corporate world. They need to become vice presidents, presidents, CEOs, so that young women can strive towards that. That's why a lot of people that are for Hillary are like, she's paving the way for young women to at least see that that's a possibility for them. And at the very least, that's amazing.
So why what do you think women prior to your generation, how do you think all this started? Because there are women before you, women in the workplace, mm-hmm. is fairly new full time, mm-hmm. 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, there were some. Now, you know, fast forward to turn of the century, the women are a significant part of the workforce. Why do you think today there seems to be a bigger issue with the current generation?
I think that it has a little bit to do with options. I think that just as time has passed, there are so many opportunities, so many options, so many fields, so many random jobs that no one 20 years ago could have even said, oh, there's going to be a job just for like microchip placing into teddy bears or something. Like, no one could have said something like that would happen. And I think that now that there's all this opportunity, women of my generation were told when they were applying to college by their parents and et cetera, that, you know, get after it, do it. There was no pullback, or at least for me, I come from an immigrant family and my parents came here for the American dream. I'm first generation American and I grew up sort of not having anything and watched my parents succeed when they didn't even know the language. And for me, that was an inspiration, and that drove me and that made me want to give back and create community. And I think that a lot of women of my generation are experiencing that. They're seeing, wow, there's so much opportunity, sort of how do I get in there? But then once you're there, it's kind of hard to find a mentor. It's hard to look within a company and be like, okay, well, where are the women? You know, sometimes there are, and a lot of times there are not.
Okay, so there's been a void, and then with more women, you're saying there are not a lot of senior type role models in big positions. It's like, we've all arrived here now, and we've been growing, mm-hmm. and why aren't there more senior people reflecting, you know, the female persuasion?
Yeah.
So what prompted you to start this group?
I
mean, you said about the cliff and everything like that.
Could you
pull out a little bit more information, if it's not too personal, I guess,
to tell people how this all started? So myself and my co-founder, we both have experience working with women in different ways. She is also super inspiring to me in that she worked abroad and worked with sex workers that were all women. And she saw that for them, just having a space, a safe room to meet and communicate and have that time together was empowering and gave them a lot of control over their lives that they didn't feel that they had before, just because they had this community. And for me, when I was in college, I became really involved in mental health awareness, trying to destigmatize mental health in general, trying to showcase that it's okay to talk about, it's okay to ask for help, things that are really challenging. And I was a varsity athlete, and I saw a lot of athletes fall off of their teams because they were dealing with depression, or they had eating disorders, or their parents went through a divorce, or a parent died. I mean, anything, and coaches had no idea how to approach that. So I worked on creating programming for coaches to approach issues like that. And I served on the mental health committee and sort of was very involved in trying to empower people to feel like it's okay if things are going wrong. And that's sort of what we're working on now, is it's okay if you're having a bad day at work, or it's okay if you need a day, or you need a minute, or you don't know what you're doing. None of us know what we're doing. No one tells you, hey, real life is kind of hard. No one's like, prepare yourself, like, buckle up. We're just kind of like, oh, like, you went to a great college, like, you'll be fine, like, you'll have a great job. That's not something that's not the norm anymore. That's just like a fairy tale that we all want to believe, but you have to relearn everything. It's a huge transition.
So tell us a little bit about, you're in a startup still.
Yep.
Tell us how you're marketing yourself or getting yourself out there to your audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ever since we've launched, we sort of started with our immediate connections, people that we knew directly in the city. And then from there, we sort of worked on referrals. We worked on word of mouth and having women that were gaining value from our community talk about it and bringing their friends. And that's really how we've grown in the past 6 months. We haven't done any sort of mass marketing. We've been, you know, featured in a couple of articles, and we do some outreach, and we have some, you know, standard marketing like Facebook and Meetup and other platforms that we're using. But in general, we sort of see this as a small, vibrant community, and we want everyone to feel comfortable with each other. And so word of mouth is really the best way for us.
So you, as you move forward and mature as a business, how do you see you getting your your message out there?
Absolutely. Part of that is going to be having sort of ambassadors and women that have been part of our community that maybe have transitioned to other cities and are looking for that sense of community and want our help to start little satellite communities in other cities. Another way is that we're now seeing where our women are coming from, what companies they work in, and what we've done our own research with around 100 women to see what are corporations doing for them. Is there any programming being run for them? And what we found is that over 75% of women would attend female programming, but they don't have access to it.
So is this a pay service? Do they pay for joining? Or?
So we've been running at cost. We are a nonprofit, and we've been running our entire organization completely sort of we're trying to give back. And we have a really, really tiny fee. We've been charging about $10 a month just to help run events, to pay professionals that come in. We have a lot of partnered professionals that we bring in for self-defense classes or for art collage, like inner critic explorations, and for boot camps, really any type of events. Cool. That help women.
Good, great. So what would be the best way to reach you and your company?
Well, we have a website, joinlinks.org. And we're always looking for new women. And we have a Facebook page, Links Boston. And we love when women reach out to us. We have like a new member form. We've spent a lot of time designing our website. So we're really excited about it.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks, Eva, for coming today.
Yeah.
And we're excited to have you. This is David Soper from Radio Entrepreneurs. And we are live from MTP Software talking about nonprofits and foundations today.